Welcome to Rainbow Wedding Network's podcast. RainbowWeddingNetwork.com was launched in September 2000 and has been a trusted LGBT wedding resource for 15 years. RWN has produced an ongoing national tour of LGBT wedding expos with over 150 events in 28 different states since 2003. We also offer an extensive online directory with screened gay-friendly wedding and home-related businesses, a free honeymoon registry, customized wedding web pages for couples, LGBT-specific ceremony planning tips, parenting resources, and more. Check us out online at RainbowWeddingNetwork.com and also at SameLoveSameRights.com for further information, links to social media, or to make a donation to help keeping this podcast going strong. Thank you. All right, we're excited to be here for our fourth podcast. Yeah, the Rainbow Wedding Network team is in the house. We got Cindy Sproul.
Hello.
On bass. Ira Adams on drums.
Hey, everybody.
And here I am, Marianne Pischel, starting you off with a brief introduction about what we'll be chatting about today. We are first going to talk about when you should consider booking your wedding vendors.
Yep.
And how you go about making those decisions. So it's kind of a broad topic, but I think it's going to be really helpful for couples who are recently engaged, planning to get engaged this holiday season. So you'll definitely want to listen in on that. Then we are also going to be chatting about options that you have for your transportation.
Yes.
Either during your ceremony, before, after, to the reception, after the reception. So that'll be a fun topic. And last but not least, we're going to talk about those holiday stressors, you know, specific to LGBT couples and the LGBT community and beyond that, you know, as well. So they should apply to our whole audience, our straight allies too, who are listening in, and we thank you for that. Once again, we are with RainbowWeddingNetwork.com. You can check out our website for further details about us, our event calendar for our upcoming LGBT wedding expos. We have quite a nice calendar for the winter months as well as into the spring of 2016, so definitely check that out. And let's get started with when, how, what do you do to book your wedding vendors?
Yeah, crazy, huh? This is a good reminder. A good reminder is that only two people are getting married, but it does take 18.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
It takes
a village. It definitely takes a team of professionals to create a beautiful and perfect day, right? So just some good, these are just good reminders, you know, with any wedding professional, compatibility is key, right? You gotta feel like you really are working well with your professionals. So don't be afraid to walk away if it's not the right fit. If you're, you know, going out and checking out different wedding professionals in your area, or you're calling them from our website, it's quite all right. If you don't think it's the right fit, let's walk away from that. Also, a good reminder is hire people who accept your budget, that are willing
Absolutely.
To work within your budget, right? Everybody
That's
has
true.
Different budgets. I don't think there's two weddings that are the same. You know, people have different ideas of what their day is going to be for them. And so those are just really good reminders. Another one is that, you know, when we're talking about businesses that provide a product like wedding cakes or flowers or invitations, those wedding vendors, they can provide products to multiple couples on a day.
Right.
You know, those type of professionals, you don't have to book as far out
yeah.
as you need to book certain and an important part of your wedding. So one of those is your reception.
The venue. Yeah.
That is a biggie. You need to book that thing at least 12 months out. And because reception venues can book up to 2 years in advance on a popular date.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
to know.
It's good to know.
And this, I saw this online. I thought this was a great reminder. Is simply saying a date is your wedding date does not mean that is your wedding date. Unless it doesn't matter to you where you're having your wedding, you do not have a wedding date until you put down a deposit on your ceremony or reception sites. Without a firm date, it's hard to hire any of your wedding-related services. So, you can say, my date is going to be June 18th. Mm-hmm. That's the date we've come up with. Mm-hmm. That is not your date until you have booked, put a deposit, get an, your application or receipt or your banquet order in hand. Then you have a date. And at that point, you can start calling and talking to other wedding professionals, because if you don't have that date booked, where you have that receipt of your deposit and that banquet order in place, you can't go out and hire the photographer, you can't go out and hire the DJ, you can't go out and hire the caterer, et cetera, et cetera. So make sure that you kind of start with that reception venue and your wedding ceremony if it's in a different location as well. So those are your two pretty important first, your starting spots there when you are starting your planning. Also, if your date is flexible, so really interesting note is a Friday or a Sunday wedding can save you around 30% of your venue cost.
Interesting.
Interesting.
That's good to know.
You know, it is also interesting to think about how not that long ago, couples, their most like important thing they had in mind was to find the LGBT friendly whatever.
Right.
And let's say you found the LGBT-friendly caterer, you know, and you couldn't find another one. Their food maybe wasn't the priority so much as they were good to work with,
that
and they
correct.
Were friendly, and they were supportive of the community. And hopefully now, as the laws have changed, you have a little, you keep that high priority, but you can lower it a little bit because you can assume there are more options out there.
And we've noticed that. We've noticed there's more businesses that want to advertise to our community, and not just because money's green, but because they really do support.
There were many back in the day, 15 years ago when we started our business, we had a lot of support from businesses that really wanted to support equality, and that was so heartening. But you're right, more and more feel like they can come forward, especially some in the larger businesses. They feel like their higher-ups now are on board because the law has passed, and so they don't have to think twice about coming forward and letting everybody know how supportive they are. So,
right.
As a couple, you should find that you do have more options and that you don't have to have that be your one and only priority. Oh, yeah. Are they LGBT-friendly? And go from there. Now you can sort of sit back and say, but do I really like the food?
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah. Or do I really like this venue option? Or
right.
Do I really like this ceremony site? That's right. Also, deciding on the approximate number of guests you'll invite to your wedding is very important before you settle on a venue.
Yeah.
The venue could either be too small or could be way too much for what you're needing. So, investigating blackout dates. Know ahead of time if your wedding falls on the same day as a large conference or a local event, like a marathon. We've learned that from our wedding expos.
Yeah.
Don't have that on the day of a marathon. All roads are closed.
It's true. Depending on the time, you know, marathons mm-hmm. are usually mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many weddings are mornings, but it is a good example.
Right.
So you
good
want to
example.
Make sure it's not, you know, the day of some festival that's going
correct.
On. And you have to check across the board. I mean, it could be as simple as a Catholic festival that you maybe aren't Catholic, so you don't think about it.
But all the hotel rooms
could
be blocked.
All those calendars
off.
Or, you know, yeah, it might be. Who knows what?
Exactly.
Some big, I don't know.
Well, we're running into the hotel rooms for our Baltimore show. There is a very, I don't want to say it's a low-level conference of a basketball tournament that's going
right.
on. And a lot of the hotel rooms in that area are blocked for that particular basketball. It's kind of like March Madness, but it's not that high up.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure to kind of investigate where your wedding's going to be, where's the reception going to be, are you able to book, you know, a block of rooms for your guests? And so is there something going on like a large conference or
traffic issues?
Traffic issues, exactly. Also, know your seasons. Weather, good example, having a hot outdoor wedding in the middle of a bug season,
mm-hmm.
not so much a good idea, you know. So all of those things can come into play. And when they're talking about reception venues, some of the venues can be booked 2 years out on particular good wedding times for your location. A lot of that has to do with weather.
Oh, sure. And there's a lot of that rainy seasons.
Rainy seasons. There's
like the season when things are in bloom. If you're right. having an Atlanta wedding, spring is so beautiful there, and you're really wanting those florals to be in the background of your photographs.
Right.
You want to pick the venue during those May months or, you know, I mean, April, May months or whatever, and I'm sure those book up.
Those book up really quick. Yeah. Same way with beautiful fall weddings in, you know, Vermont or Maine or New Hampshire or whatever. That's, so make sure you, again, if your wedding date is flexible, then that helps. If your wedding date is on this particular month, this particular day, because there's a million different reasons why you might have to pick or you want to pick a certain day, that makes you might it means you might have to push that out beyond the 12-month range. Caterers. A caterer, once again, is a good rule. It's about 10 to 12 months out. And because they are limited to the amount of weddings or events they can do on any day. Again, they're not the cake or the flower or the invitations. They are limited on how many events they can do in one day. So make sure you try to get that business booked out at least 10 to 12 months. There's some reception venues, of course, that they're not going to allow outside caterers. So that sometimes comes along with that package. But if they do and you want an outside caterer, then make sure you visit their website.
Go in for tastings and make sure that's the one you want to book, obviously. But do the tastings early is what you're saying.
Do the tastings early, exactly.
When you are thinking about the time frame of your ceremony, go ahead and set that as a priority.
Right. And as crazy as it sounds, read the reviews. Yeah. You know, you have to toss out, you know, you can look through a set of reviews and figure out, you know, if that person is just being ultra picky or it's a legitimate good or bad review. So make sure you read the reviews, get referrals. You know, if you're working with a wedding planner, that's great because wedding planners generally know all the caterers in that area, or they have worked with all the caterers in that area. So they're a good resource for you as well.
I've also found at our wedding expos, if you really jive with a particular vendor, even if it's not a wedding planner, like let's say it's a DJ, and they're like just so awesome and you really connect, they know other wedding vendors.
That's right.
And so if you want to know who's gay friendly or who has that same energy,
right,
because you really connect, ask those vendors that you've already booked with or that you really like for their input, because they probably know someone who's just really what you're looking for. And so don't be shy to ask the vendors that you're already interested in or that you've already booked with, even if they're not a wedding coordinator, because they all kind of know each other or they know people that are similar to them or they, you know. So ask around. It's important to make the most of your vendors, and they are usually very happy to refer their friends because they're patting somebody on the back, and that person will then, you know, return the favor later. So
exactly. And with caterers, it is going and using the web first is a great idea, because you can look through the caterer's website, get a feel for what type of food they make or what's, and that can really narrow down your choices first before you start calling to see if you can schedule a tasting and all that, because that can take time too. So using that wonderful thing.
Yes, it takes a lot of time. Couples don't realize how much time it takes to go around to check out these vendors. Mm-hmm. So you really have to work that into your plans.
That's right.
Not just budget, but time is a big factor. And you know what's another thing with a lot of gay and lesbian couples? It's not just the food itself, but the presentation.
Right.
And even with a lot of straight couples, it's getting to be pretty important, because a lot of people have certain visions of what they really want their wedding to look like. And it's a lot about the presentation of it or the decor of it, as opposed to just the taste. Me, I'm more of a, you know, down and gritty kind of person. I'm really about the taste and the flavors.
The cake must be a certain...
Yeah, but you know, a lot of our gay men and lesbians too really want the presentation to come off a certain way. They have a theme or they have a, you know, color scheme, and they need that. So a lot of times on the web, you can get a feel for how your caterers present.
Exactly.
Although some of them who present really well don't always choose to invest the money in marketing photos.
Yes.
And so their photos are not always indicative of how well they present.
That's
so
true.
If you find a caterer whose menu's really appealing to you, but their photos aren't that great, don't write them off. Definitely go check them out. But it is a good sort of barometer to sort of use as you narrow down your search.
That's right. That's great. Absolutely. And flipping over to photographers, that's another one. That's 10 to 12 months out that you should be thinking about choosing the photographer, because, you know, we all want those photographs down the road. You know, this is a very important part of your wedding, is to have those photographs to look back on. And some top talent, they'll book up quickly, and especially in major metro areas. The good photographers book up very quickly. Again, they can't do two weddings in one day. So that's very important. So that's why you want to try to find a photographer 10 to 12 months out. This is another type of business. You can go to the web first and look at their style. You know, how do they take the photographs? Is that style, is that what you're envisioning your photographs are going to look like? It doesn't matter if it has a male, female, you know, a straight wedding couple in the photographs. Just look at how that photographer takes the photographs. And
how relaxed the couple looks.
Right.
Because you want your photographer to help you feel relaxed in front of that camera. And that's important. You know, some people really want the photographer to blend in the background and not even know they're there. Other people want the photographer to help them feel at ease.
Yes.
And you want to know that your photographer can handle not only you, but your guests. Maybe you have a stuffy grandpa. And you kind of want to know the photographer can help put everyone at ease, even if stuffy old grandpa is being a little bit of a stick in the mud that moment with those portraits. You kind of want to know your photographer can step in there and handle that with either a sense of humor or professionalism that just gets grandpa going and done, boom, boom, or whatever it is that works for you. You know, you want to really feel like you mesh with that photographer.
Yes. I was going to say, out of all of your wedding professionals, you need to feel comfortable with everybody. Absolutely. But your photographer is probably, you know, on the top three of who you really need to feel comfortable with, because that person is going to be with you from the moment you get up.
Yeah, and they see you getting dressed. Yes. And you know, you just want them to really almost feel like a friend.
Exactly.
For that day.
Exactly.
Same thing with your event coordinator.
Yes. And going in and having the engagement session first, that's wonderful too, because that you get to, you know, you get to know the photographer a little bit more before the big wedding day, because you're nervous. You know, you're nervous and your fiance is nervous, and depending on what traditions you want to follow, if you're not going to see each other, et cetera, et cetera, you need to feel like you've got a buddy there with you who is capturing your whole day. Mm-hmm. So you got to make sure you really feel comfortable with your photographer. So photographers are really important to book out, you know, as far as you can. Again, referrals are great. Making sure you meet with them maybe more than once, you know, maybe several times before you choose a photographer. So that's...
I see that a lot on photographers' websites where they say, you know, let's have coffee or whatever.
Yes.
And sometimes it crosses my mind. I'm like, who has time for that? But then, you know, you're right. They need you as a couple should go almost do coffee a couple times or tea or what have you, just to bond.
Mm-hmm.
And just on a related note is if you're planning to have a videographer who is not part of your photography team, once you book the photographer, if you're going to go ahead and book them first, before you book that videographer, kind of whisper to the photographer, make sure that they're comfortable with that particular videographer. Most wedding vendors play really well together, but there are one or two out there that have bumped heads in the past. And if you're wanting these people to really capture your happiness and joy and comfort and all of that and relaxation, then it's good to make sure they actually gel well together too.
Right.
So many things come into play you wouldn't necessarily think about when you're planning your wedding. Those vendor relationships, your relationship to the vendors is very important about how it translates to the photos, to the video.
And just like that just point, your day. I like talking about, that was great, the word relationship. You know, you think about the wedding a certain way. You think about it as this event. You think about it as the two of you making your promises to each other. But you're right. It is based on relationships. The relationship you have with your partner And you think, oh, that's what it's all about. But no, it's not actually. It's about much bigger than that.
Million different things
at
any one point.
Your relationship with your family, your relationships with their family, your relationships with the vendors, Phew. That's why people are exhausted at the end of their weddings. They're like, I had no idea this was what it was about. You know, I really thought it was about me and you.
No.
And it's not just about the party. But it is, too. And it's so kind of like a messes with your brain a little bit. So it's good to go in educated.
Right. And once again, two of you are getting married, but it's a team of people behind you. And making sure that you're comfortable with that team is important.
One thing I think is so nice now that we have national marriage rights, couples don't feel like, oh, my state passed marriage equality. We have to jump in and get married really quick before it's taken away.
Right.
Now, you know, couples can breathe and go, oh, yeah, let's take the 2-year time frame now that we're engaged and plan this. And it's not just about the planning part per se. It's about taking all these elements into consideration and building that day. And it's not that you have to build a $200,000 wedding. It's putting all these relationships together. It's like
Absolutely.
A puzzle. Yeah.
Well, that's what I had. What do you guys have on that subject?
Well, I can jump in with a few. One thing that I think is important to remember, it doesn't necessarily take 2 years to plan your wedding, but you should give yourself some time out there. And I've seen in a lot of places online where different contributors will mention the face the moment period, the 6 months prior to the wedding. That's kind of where you want to know that you've got a lot of those parts of your ceremony in place, be it the venue and your photographer and DJ. A DJ is another important thing. Just like photography talent, you want someone who can engage the audience at your reception, make your family feel comfortable, and kind of play the music that you want to hear on the dance floor to kind of have that conversation with your DJ. So you do want to spend some time meeting with the DJ, and you want to book them as early as possible. I've seen some people saying 6 months out, but I would really think more in the terms of about a year out, because you want to make sure you've got that talent booked, that you've got somebody there that you don't have to worry about. You know they're going to make your family feel comfortable. The same goes with your wedding coordinator, because that's going to be a vital tool in booking other vendors. She'll have a lot, he or she will have a lot of references that they can provide. So you want to get them in place early, and they can help you set that timeline, help guide you a little bit more as you move forward with your ceremony.
Something about event coordinators or designers, booking them far out gives them the time they need to then book the others.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Absolutely.
Let's say they have a decor person that they want to use. Well, that decor person books up. So if you've booked your wedding coordinator far enough out, then they can then talk to their decor person, make sure they're available, you know, and that gives them the time frame they need to book the ideal vendors for you. And some people really think twice about event coordinators, which is fine. It's not right for every couple, but those who are going with a coordinator, you can book them further out, the better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. even using your friends to help.
Yeah,
they can help make those calls and try to book the vendors. One thing, when you were talking about DJs, that dawned on me as well. So we see this a lot at the expos, is a DJ company will sign on to exhibit at the expo, and we're talking to, let's say, Bob as the DJ person, but they have several DJs within
absolutely.
That company.
Yeah.
And talking about how, you know, you want to make sure to feel comfortable with everybody, it's a good idea to ask the DJ, who is going to be on schedule for my event, and can I meet that person first, and or can I meet with your different DJs that you have on staff and choose the person that I would like to come and play during my wedding, because you know, having a good DJ is really important for the reception, and they're the ones that get everybody up off their seat and get them engaged in all the activities going on during their reception. So that just dawned on me when you were talking about the DJs.
That's true. They do. Many of them have teams.
Right.
Yeah, and,
absolutely.
You know, it's also interesting.
And that can be the same case with photographers as well.
True. True. It's true with a lot of wedding vendors now. A lot of wedding vendors, I think, since the recession, have found ways to team up and not only help each other, but build their business in diverse ways, because they kind of had to through the recession. And I think that's stuck with a lot of wedding vendors, which is good for the couple. but it is wise to, again, keep yourself educated and know you can ask those questions. Do you work with the team? You know, are there other people I should be meeting? And a lot of gay and lesbian couples who come to our expos are, they may or may not be people. You know, mm-hmm. You say you're a people person or you're not. Over the years, a lot of our gay and lesbian couples have been less that way when it comes to their wedding plans because they still feel nervous about being gay or lesbian and planning their wedding. So it naturally brings up the shyness or whatever. And it's interesting just to sort of keep in mind that it may not be your forte, but as you are planning your ceremony, it is good to push that, you know, exercise that muscle in yourself to go ahead and ask those questions and be sure that you know everything about your particular vendors because they have so many services and resources to offer to you. And you're right. They may be a full team of DJs and you mm-hmm. may really connect not with Bob, but with Eric, who you haven't met yet. And you won't know until you ask. Right. The other thing is...
And you can ask in a nice way.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing I noticed...
You can still be southern and sweet while you're doing that.
Of course. And that goes so far these days because people aren't used to good customer service.
That's right.
So if your vendors find you to be friendly and nice to work with, they're going to love you that much more.
That's right.
But when
you're writing the check.
Yeah. You're writing the check. But one more quick thing to mention, and then I'll let you get back to it, Ira, is that, like... When you're looking for LGBT-friendly wedding vendors, sometimes you can get confused. Like, you have these stereotypes about what someone should look like or act like at the first meeting. My sister got married recently to her partner of 25-some-odd years, and their DJ, you know, I looked at him quickly when I first met him, and he just didn't come off as, oh, yeah, the biggest gay advocate in the world. You know, I would have seen him across the room and thought, I'm not sure you should be hiring this guy, you know. He was young and he looked so straight and rather straight laced, and I was like, you know, is he going to be able to pull off a fun reception party for my sister, who's, you know, in her 60s, and most of her friends are older dykes that have certain ideas about what the party's supposed to be like. And boy, he nailed it, you know. I mean, because what he did was he was willing to sit down with my sister's partner who took the lead on the music for them. And she had certain songs that needed to be played at certain times. And, you know, and he didn't know a lot of those songs before he talked to her. But he listened to what they wanted and he put it together. And it was exactly what they needed. So, I mean, you know, don't write somebody off is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Take time. Really get to know them. Use those people skills, even if they're not your favorite skills to use, because it will pay off, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of the wedding you're able to put together.
Yep.
Absolutely. Another vendor I was going to mention is the officiant, which is a very, of course, important part of your ceremony. Someone who's kind of going to guide the procession of the ceremony itself and help you with writing your vows. And you don't necessarily have to think a full year out, but you still want to kind of stick in that range to about 10 months. To be able to find an officiant that you can work with. Again, it's somebody you want to, in that vital moment, be able to take the lead and help guide you. You're going to be nervous. You're going to be a little nervous about writing your vow. So it's good to have someone who can provide that insight to be able to guide you and make you feel comfortable. So it's definitely good to get that in place. Again, I'm gonna kind of stick to that. I think it's a good idea thinking 6 months out to have bulk of your vendors in place. That's not always, you know, what's going to be able to happen.
Possible, yeah.
But it is good to start thinking in those terms to try to think of what's important to you. And of course, the officiant is an integral part of your ceremony.
And that is one you need to be able to feel comfortable with.
Absolutely.
It helps a lot. And it comes across so much to the people who are there to watch you make your commitment to each other when you have sort of a relationship or a rapport with that officiant, and it's not just that you met this morning for the first time.
Right.
Although that happens, and that's okay, but, you know, for most couples, it is nice to have that rapport because it does look that much more relaxed to people watching, and they feel that much more certain about what's going on and the words that you're saying to each other. You know, they come across as that much more meaningful. I think that's important, and a lot of couples forget that part. Because a lot of our couples who do come to the expos and that we meet day to day around here, either by phone or in person, they don't necessarily consider themselves religious. Right. They don't necessarily have a minister. Now, many couples do. Many gay and lesbian couples are very strongly spiritual people. But many of them don't have a go-to minister or a rabbi or, you know, person of faith. So they put it lower on the priority list when it comes to their wedding. And you're right, Ira. They should consider that, to move up that priority list so that they do have that rapport and they have that sort of advocate in the corner for them to put together the vows or help them decide which rituals might fit best or brainstorm ideas. Yeah.
And it's important to remember, too, even if you are spiritual, religious, and you don't know necessarily, say, a Methodist minister or a Catholic priest who can help write the vows or who can be there the day of your ceremony to help, there are plenty of people out there now as we progress with National Marriage Equality who are supportive, and you just kind of have to look around because there are options available to you.
Yeah, that is a good topic. We should address it another time. Mm-hmm. That would be very helpful, I think, for our couples.
Yeah. Can I do one nuts and bolts rule?
Yeah, and then I have some other things I wanted to touch on, too.
I was getting down to the nuts and bolts of gratuities.
Yeah.
Most of your wedding vendors, you need to check the contract to see if tips are included. And sometimes with the DJs, the officiants, caterers, the servers that are there, make sure in your contract that tips are included. If tips are not included, put that into your budget.
Yeah.
And that can add up.
Really can.
And that can add up. And if tips are not included in your contract, then they should be handed out the day of the wedding.
Oh, yeah. A lot of time the best person has those checks
in
their
definitely
pocket.
Want to assign somebody in your wedding party or a family member that does have those envelopes with them, and that those tips are handed out the day of the wedding. So I just wanted to throw that out there while we were talking about.
Yes. And, you know, I have seen it go very far. If it's possible to invite that officiant in advance to the reception. Many officiants, they don't consider it part of their work to just go to your reception. So if you want them to be invited, you need to do that in advance and let them know you'd love to have them and that they're welcome. Mm-hmm. So
it's the same way, too, about when you're talking about your caterers. Do you feed the DJ? Do you feed the officiant? Right. Do you feed the servers? And so that has to be added in. If it's a per-person charge, make sure that is, included into your contract.
And they certainly wouldn't know they were allowed to eat unless you told them. So you have to, you have to make sure they're aware of that.
Exactly.
Excellent. These are excellent points. I did want to touch on sort of setting some more of those priorities as you think about what the anchor points are for your ceremony plans. For instance, Cindy, you mentioned venue, of course. That's an obvious one because a lot of couples have it in their minds. Oh, I want a seasonal wedding, so I need to think about these types of venues. Or, oh, I want an indoor wedding, or I want an outdoor wedding, or I want this or that in my venue. I want a castle-looking space. Or, I just have the idea of this particular photograph with the staircase, so we've got to find a venue like that, sweetie, that goes into it. So if those things are of the utmost importance, then that's sort of the hinge pin on which, you base, I need to book this first. So that, of course, that's kind of obvious, but I say it just because it helps couples sort of grasp when they get engaged and they're confused what they think about first. Again, if you're thinking about the seasonal and you want certain flowers in the background or leaf colors or what have you, then that's an important thing to think about as you're considering which vendors to book first. A lot of couples, as you mentioned, have a specific date that they think is ideal based on astrology or birthdays or first date or what have you. And then, of course, that could become the anchor point. Maybe venue is secondary to you and your partner, but the date is of the utmost importance.
That's right.
And so that's what you go with, and you have to, I think, communication. And again, this goes back to relationship. Communication becomes key because you really need to make sure with your partner that that is what's most important if it's the date. And then you get in there and you find this venue you really like. And one of you is like, well, now the venue's the most important, sweetheart. The date has lost, So you have to be kind of flexible. It makes me kind of reminded of house hunting.
Right.
Where you think you have all these facets that are so important to you in that new house. But then you get in there and you're looking and that changes. It's kind of a fluid decision. And couples, most couples go into their wedding plans not realizing that. So I think it's important to know when you're talking to your fiancé that those priorities can change. So keep that in mind and be gentle with yourselves and with each other as you are finalizing some of those plans.
Planning a wedding and remodeling the house can bring you two together or tear yourselves apart.
It's true. It's true. A lot of couples, though, we
raising children are easier.
That's true. But don't let that word get out. We need them to plan their weddings first. A lot of couples nowadays, as we talked about, decor has been bumped up as a particular priority, and that goes along with themes. You know, mm-hmm. we talked about wedding themes one or two podcasts ago. For many couples, that's the thing now. And it's like, that vintage style wedding is what we want. And so the date doesn't actually matter as much. The particular venue gets bumped up because they want a vintage looking venue. They're you know, maybe not as keen on the season or what. So, you know, different couples, there's different priorities. But you have to talk to each other and decide what the most the highest priorities are in order to anchor yourselves to what than what vendors you have to book the furthest out. And I like to just mention those things. One more thing that a lot of couples don't even think about is considerations for some of the guests. If you have a favorite brother, you know, he's your favorite, he has to be there and he has six children and you're planning a more of a weekend wedding and you know he's the type of person that doesn't want to take his kids out of school, well, then maybe a summertime wedding is the best idea. Or you're planning a destination wedding and you want as full a guest list as possible, then you better think about the travel costs. Because some of your guests, that may impact their ability to be there or not, or their work schedules, or maybe you have a favorite aunt who's in the armed services or something. So, you know, all those things are taken into consideration, and then that changes which vendors you choose to book first and why.
Another thing along those lines, too, are considering, especially with your caterer, if you have a family member with a food allergy or something along those lines, to make the caterer aware of that as well. It's not necessarily so much in the time frame, but another good guest consideration.
It is true. And another guest consideration is the child care factor. If you are planning to provide child care or child-oriented activities, that's a vendor that sometimes people forget about until very last minute. It can sometimes be challenging to book a child, you know, professional child care last minute. So if that's something you're wanting to have at your reception, be sure that you go ahead and book that vendor definitely 4 to 6 months out.
I read a great quote, create a guest list that reflects real life. When you're narrowing down your invites, think about your present and future relationships rather than the past. If it's someone you want in your life in 20 years, if so, invite that person. The others are negotiable.
Boy, that's tough love. Jeez. Wow. I don't know that I agree with that. You just brought that up to make us, you know, discuss.
She's wanting to create stress in there.
Stir the pot a little bit. I thought that was good. I thought, wow, if this is somebody you want to have 20 years from now, you're still going to be in a friendship with them. Invite them to your wedding.
Yeah, but what about family? I mean, there's sometimes the great uncle that you may not like or want in your life 20 years from now, but he is going to give your mother heck if he is not invited.
Well, there's the political aspect of who you invite to your wedding, but I just thought I'd stir the pot a little bit. I like doing that around here.
Your thoughts, Ira?
I'm thinking of a lot of ways that can go wrong. You definitely don't want to invite exes or anything along those lines, so those would be immediately off the list.
Some of us want to invite exes just to show off that we did good for ourselves, you know?
I like that you said that, Marianne Fisher.
Put them in the back and let them get the scraps from the catering table.
I appreciate that you said that. Even though I'm stirring the pot a little bit with that last quote. There you go.
Yeah.
That's a good way of ending the segment.
All right. Well, we will be back shortly and talk about transportation options as well as holiday stressors. We'll be back in a moment. One of the proud sponsors of today's Rainbow Wedding Network podcast is Michelle Lee Entertainment. based in Philadelphia. Michelle Lee, aka DJ Shelley, brings a modern, infectious energy to your celebration. She'll work with you and your fiancé to create your unique event, specific to your tastes and the tastes of your guests, so that everyone enjoys the party. DJ Shelley is professional, gracious, enthusiastic, and undoubtedly passionate about entertainment. Check out her website at www.michelleleeentertainment.com. Based in Philly, happy to travel throughout the Mid-Atlantic to help create your dream celebration. And our second topic for today's podcast is options that couples have with regard to their transportation for their ceremony and reception. I like to point out that, you know, as we think about the happy couple we know who recently got engaged over the holidays, that they're online looking at, you know, they're researching different venues and they're getting excited about that, or they're looking at photographers, or they're thinking about what type of ring they're going to have at the wedding, what type of gemstone they want. They're doing tastings with the bakers to, you know, think about what flavors of cake they want, or pie nowadays, or they're checking out their caterer's menus. They're doing all of these things. They're investing all this time and planning into what different options they have. But a lot of couples are not paying attention to deciding what sort of transportation they might use during their wedding. Back in the day, when we were publishing Rainbow Wedding Network magazine in the printed format, we spotlighted a particular couple that came to mind when I was researching for this segment. Bob Harris and Ken Travers, they had a destination wedding in Hawaii. And, you know, they had the traditional drumming at their ceremony. They included a circle of tropical flower petals on the sand during the ceremony. They included the tradition of throwing leis into the ocean in honor of their ancestors. It was a beautiful ceremony. And what they also chose to include was traveling from the ceremony spot, which was in a cove there on the beach. The two grooms, Bob and Ken, traveled from the ceremony spot over to the reception area, which was also a beachfront venue, in an outrigger canoe. And they had, you know, a Hawaiian gentleman dressed in traditional garb, you know, paddling the canoe right over. So it was just very quaint and all of that. It gave the grooms time to regroup after the ceremony, gave them that quiet moment together as newlyweds, as they headed over to the party, you know? So that was just fun. And of course it added a little extra flair to their photograph albums later, just to have them in this canoe. So a lot of fun ideas are possible if you think about, you know, what different options you have. And I'm sure that choice to have the canoe probably didn't add a whole lot more to their budget, because they had to get from point A to point B somehow. And they chose just to go ahead and add that in. I thought that was, you know, a neat thing that came to mind when we were talking about this topic. And it's good to remind couples, you just simply have options out there. So take them to heart, enjoy thinking about what they are as you plan your wedding.
There are a lot of options. I was just researching limousines, and it's amazing how many options there are out there for limousines. And, you know, there are so many, like, beautiful vintage limos.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my nowadays, goodness. There really are. We wow. see them at our expos often, where they come in with the different types of vehicles that are so different than what they were even 15 years ago. And they're so proud of them.
Yes.
The limo companies. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like the vintage limousines. There's the stretch limo with full-on bling. I mean, the inside of some of these limousines are insane. Or it can just be a smaller like Lincoln Town Car for just the two of you to go from the, you know, from the reception to your...
To the airport.
Yeah, to the airport or whatever. There's the super stretch limousines, or the stretch specialty vehicles like the SUVs and the all of those.
The Hummer. Yeah,
and if you want to include the wedding party and part of the transport, you can kind of make it more of a little more of a
and
party
thing. That's your gauge, is how many people are you transporting to or from the wedding, or to and from the reception back to the hotel.
Right.
You know, will you use the limousine to leave your reception and get onto your honeymoon? Those are the decisions that you put into place when you're picking your limousine. But there are so many options. Like I said, the vintage ones were just gorgeous. But some of the stretch limos with the full bling, I mean, those are fun too if you're just having your wedding party and you just want to take your wedding party from the wedding, the ceremony venue to the reception, and they have the bar and they have the flashy lights inside. And, you know, you get that moment just with the people that were in your wedding and you get that little time with them in between.
Which can be especially helpful too if you're doing formal portraits.
Right.
After the ceremony. And then, you know, a lot of the guests have gotten themselves over the reception in advance of that, but you need to get everybody in the wedding party over. It's kind of fun. Okay, we just took these portraits and now we can relax and, you know.
Have a glass of champagne in the back of the limousine and enjoy that moment just with our group. And, of course, the rentals run in the neighborhood of $50 to $300 per hour, a minimum of 2 or 3 hours booked. Of course, those really super stretch and all that are a premium, so remember that as well. And important that you have an all-inclusive price with your contract, because they'll have layered fees sometimes where they'll add fuel surcharges or tolls or gratuity. So make sure that your final bill isn't all-inclusive in that as well. So that's always make sure that.
Yeah, that's wise to remember. It's wise with any wedding vendor to make sure that the quote that you're given is all-inclusive whenever possible. There are times where the caterer can't nail it down exactly because such and such portions can't be nailed down or whatever till the last minute. But quotes like the limo, yeah, you should make sure they are all-inclusive so there's no surprises.
That's right. And then the other topic on getaway cars, so to speak, is using the family car.
Yeah.
You know, sure. You might have, your dad might have the most awesome Ford Mustang, you know, 1965, you know, baby blue Ford Mustang or something that is perfect for you. And that's what you're going to use for your getaway car. Yeah. So those are great options as well. What do you have available in your family or your friends or just, you know, if it's just the two of you and you're driving yourself to the airport, mm-hmm. go for that too. Mm-hmm. But what I was really going to talk about is decorating the car.
Oh, nice. But before you do, you know, we have like a vintage club of car owners that gathers at the local fast food restaurant every Tuesday night. A lot of cities or towns have such a club nowadays. And there was one club that contacted us not that long ago about one of our expos they wanted mm-hmm. to consider exhibiting, just to spread the word that they were available at lower rates than some of the traditional limousine companies. Now, you want to research that, but I just put it out there for an option for couples if budget is a strong consideration. But you want to make sure, of course, whomever you book has the proper insurance and whatever. But right. There are some car owners like that, independent mm-hmm. individuals who may be interested in helping with your wedding, and they may have the perfect car that you, you know, really have always dreamed about including. So that's an option.
That is. That's a great option because, again, if it's just going to be the two of you and you want something that represents your style, you know, or who you are, that's a great option right there to do that. But I looked into decorating your car, and what a fun tradition, you know, and the tradition has always fallen on the groomsmen. But I say, get everybody involved.
Yeah, from the kids,
the bridesmaids, your best people. Mm-hmm. Get everybody involved in decorating the car. Of course, the timing of decorating the car can be a little stressful. So, you know, if you have a wedding coordinator there, make sure you work with them on when's the best time to decorate the car. Are you keeping the decorations a little secret, a little down low, so the wedding couple doesn't see it? Or, you know, work with one of the moms that are there to make sure that you can sneak out, decorate the car, to pick the perfect time for that. Where would we be without Pinterest? Mm-hmm. Pinterest is awesome, right? There's great ideas about decorating the getaway car for the wedding on Pinterest. Cute ideas from using flowers, balloons. They had these great tissue paper pom-poms that hung off the back of the car, ribbons, signs, and, of course, tin cans. You can decorate the tin cans with messages from your friends. That's also a fun idea. But
fun.
Did you know? I had no idea when I was researching. Did you know that there are some laws that you can't use tin cars on the back of the car? You cannot put tin cars on the back of the car.
Tin cans.
Thank you. Tin cans on the back of the car. Who came up with that law? Is that not the craziest law?
Well, you know, they can lead to litter or, you know, dangers in the road. I can understand that.
Oh, please.
Spoiling the party.
I find it hard to believe a policeman would pull you over.
Yeah, they did talk about, like, don't block the license tag or whatever. But I was like, you're kidding me that there's laws. You cannot put tin cans on the back of the wedding getaway car. But there are, so you might want to look at that. So flowers or the tissue paper pom-poms may work best. But before you get all crazy decorating the rented limousine that I just talked about, you definitely want to check with the driver to make sure that that is okay, because there can be additional costs for cleaning the car.
Oh, sure. If it's a rental, you should definitely check. If it's your own vehicle, that's a little different.
Right. And some no-nos, of course. We don't even have to mention some of these no-nos. But I didn't realize, but whipped cream can really wreck a paint job because of the sugar. So good to know. But there are places like, of course, Pinterest is a great resource just to use for ideas, but there, you know, places like Party City has kits, available that you can buy, and they have like the window markers. So you don't have to go and find the old shoe polish or soap or something like that. Right. They actually have great little markers and balloons and ribbons and all of that sort of good stuff. They have kits that you can use to decorate the car. So check out those locations as well, and of course Google and all that fun stuff. So
there you go. And just keep in mind, if you do have a theme for your wedding, the decor for the car can follow the theme. Most people think about that, but just to mention.
And this was a really great idea. They said the nice thing to do for the two brides or the two grooms is to, because you're going to mess up their getaway car a little bit, is to make sure you put maybe a little ice filled bucket with some champagne in it in the back.
Not if they're driving.
not uncorked. Right. You know, some wine or something, champagne in the back seat and an ice filled bucket. Also, a really nice thing to do as well is most of the time in your own wedding, you don't eat. Mm-hmm. So ask the caterer to put together a little to go box. And make sure to ask to get some cake. Or if they have cupcakes or pie or whatever.
And utensils. Don't forget utensils.
Don't forget utensils. Mother Mary Ann is making sure. Don't forget the utensils. But putting something in the back seat that, you know, a little food from the reception, some of that yummy wedding cake or cupcakes or pie, again, a little champagne in the back. It's just a nice little touch that you can do for your couple as they drive off with the tin cans on the back of their car.
Darn it.
On the back of their car while you went ahead and messed up their getaway car. So
we're going to have to get Cindy some tin cans. We're going to work with that.
Exactly. That's what I have.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, Ira.
I was going to jump in right here. And you've talked a little bit about the classic cars, and this is off subject for me. But one thing that I think, if you're using and keeping with your theme, a classic car, maybe you have, if you like Downton Abbey, you like the idea of having the classic car that's not necessarily that era, but something that's a little more with your classic theme. The same goes with horse-drawn carriages.
And yes.
There's many options there from different carriage companies I've seen who even have carriages shaped like pumpkins, if you want to do the whole Cinderella theme, to more of the open carriages that are like the carriages you might see in Central Park, to something a little more formal from back in the day, a closed carriage, which I tend to like. I kind of like the elegance and simplicity of that, but it's also very, very unique. So that's a great way to keep with your theme and give a little bit of uniqueness to your transportation.
Also weather friendly to have the enclosed.
So absolutely.
Always something to think about, although many of the open air carriages now have ways to help if rain is in the picture.
Yeah, an umbrella is not necessarily always going to be the best bet with an open carriage. That rain's going to be pouring in or whatever. So, another great thing is thinking about something a little more adventurous in terms of having, if you're thinking really big, having something like a sailboat. You were mentioning the outrigger, but having a sailboat if you have a waterside venue, or having a motorcycle. Maybe you and your partner own a motorcycle and you just want to ride off into the sunset of forever together.
Of course.
So you've got that little sense of adventure. I've even seen several people who like to keep it a little more environmentally friendly. They're all about fitness, who use bicycles to get away. Now, you might not want to do that between the the ceremony reception menu because you're going to be sweating. But if you're going to ride off into the sunset, you know your destination's not that far away. And that would work out a little bit better, I think, there too. And, of course, there are things that are a little more romantic, like the hot air balloon, if you want to kind of sail off into the sunset that way and have a great view. And that definitely leaves an impact for your reception, for your ceremony. Of course, that's a little bit more for the honeymoon itself. And then, of course, some couples have even used helicopters or airplanes. Depends on how far you want to go with that to have a unique exit.
And I say put tin cans on the back of all of those things.
You can stick it on there. Make it work. You can have it dangling from the, I don't know about dangling from the hot air balloon.
Yeah, at the end of the dog sled.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm sure there's couples who've used snowmobiles and ATVs and all kinds of things. You know, particular adventurous couples with different themes going on or...
You might want to change out of your wedding attire.
Yes.
Yeah,
some of those options.
Especially on the bike. You don't want that dress getting caught up in the
chain. You might want to make sure that your getaway outfit matches your getaway option.
Well, it's also true you should try, if you are, for instance, having a carriage, you should go get into and out of the carriage in the heels that you're wearing for the wedding or the shoes or... in a long dress if you're wearing a dress or whatever, so that you feel relaxed about getting in and out and you don't feel like there'll be a, you know, fashion moment or what have you where you're tripping or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time with carriages, they'll have a helper there to help you get in and out, but you want to practice. So.
We've had a couple of the horse and carriages exhibit at our expos.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in the Orlando, they gave rides
to
the couples that were there, and that was really neat.
It's a lot of fun to have the energy of an animal like a horse at your wedding. It helps generally calm everybody down, including you and your spouse, or if you're not quite married yet, if it's to the ceremony, then you and your fiancé. But animals can be very calming, but it is important to check with your venues.
I was thinking the same thing.
If they permit the animal presence.
Yes.
Or if it's not an animal, you know, if motorcycles are permitted in this or that venue space, make sure that you check into that before you book.
That's right. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Marianne's got the logistics down.
There's also the party bus, which we didn't mention. Also a lot of fun, very popular these days. Party buses are kind of like limos where they're so diverse, and they can be totally amazing. Some couples who have a very low guest count actually don't have a reception venue. They have a party bus, and they're just having the reception on the party bus. Some couples choose a party bus to get a number of guests from point A to point B, whether that's after the rehearsal dinner, they're spending time on the bus, like, you know, the bus is going through town, maybe you met your sweetie there in town, and so you've planned this out with the driver, and you're going through town and telling stories about how you met or your first date, or maybe it's your childhood town, and so you're talking about different things. You know, party buses can be used for that, or they can just get you from the ceremony to the reception, or they can be post reception as well. A lot of people have a party after the party on the party bus. And as you mentioned, party buses, just like limos, can be amazing these days with the different services they offer. They, you know, they can have a whole sound system in there, a little area to dance, bar, all kinds of stuff, you know, TV screens, what have you, hot tub, you know.
It's crazy.
The sky's the limit.
It is amazing what they've done. Even the trolleys. I mean, the trolleys are really neat and all of that, too. So there are so many options when it comes to transportation.
There are, and as I mentioned in the intro, many couples don't think about that because it's not super high on the priority list when you're putting together those initial plans, but it is something to consider because you can really have fun with it, and a lot of times it won't add that much more to your budget, and you can be really creative with it, so have fun. Yeah, and as you mentioned, Ira, that send-off from the reception, if that is the end of your party, is your reception, and then this is the last that your guests see of you and your partner as you're heading off into the sunset or the sunrise or whatever it may be, a lot of times that adds that lasting moment, the sort of exclamation point at the end of your day. So take it to heart, you know, make the most of it. It's the one time you're going to get to do this. So enjoy and look at all those different options.
Excellent.
All right. We will be back shortly and talk about holiday stresses. And we look forward to chatting with you some more. One of today's proud sponsors of the podcast is the Liberty House Restaurant in Jersey City, with signature floor-to-ceiling views of the Manhattan skyline and Statue of Liberty. Designed to exemplify the view with a room concept, Liberty House offers chic elegance inside and out, with a luxurious second-floor grand ballroom, outdoor garden, climate-controlled tent space, and spacious, attractively landscaped terraces and grounds. Award-winning farm-to-table cuisine is also a highlight at Liberty House, with delicious and nourishing dishes that will inspire and pamper you and your guests. Stop in to the restaurant sometime for a casual meal and get to know their wonderfully gracious staff. Liberty House in Jersey City, New Jersey, is the proud sponsor of Rainbow Wedding Network's Same Love, Same Rights LGBT Wedding Expo for 3 years running. Join us on the afternoon of Sunday, January 10th, 2016, for the exciting third annual show. Welcome! The doors at the Liberty House are open to you and your partner anytime. All right, our next segment for today's podcast is holiday stressors.
Oh, fun topic. Yeah. Isn't that a fun topic?
We are here in December, in the midst of Hanukkah, on our way to Christmas and the New Year's and Kwanzaa and the winter solstice, and all kinds of things coming up. So
visiting family, yeah, whether we want to or not. Yeah, what an interesting time, especially for the LGBT community, right? Sometimes, you know, a lot of us have great memories of holiday time with our family and extended family, maybe grandma's cooking or just the smells of the food being cooked, yeah, and all of that. But for some LGBT folks, it could be a real time of stress.
Absolutely.
You know, a real time of stress. Maybe you're not, it's a time when you're like, oh, I've got to go and pretend that I'm maybe somebody else, or maybe I've only come out to one or two of my siblings and not everybody, and Uncle so-and-so is going to be there and
ask me if I'm dating again. Yeah.
You know, why aren't you married? That sort of thing. Or maybe you have, you know, that mother or father who always calls your significant other your friend.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you love that? You've been together 20 years and you're still introduced. This is her friend. And you just want to strangle. But,
or, you know, maybe you're transgendered and most of the family isn't that accepting and you have to go, and instead of it being a really fun time for the holidays, it's just not fun.
Or maybe you have to go and your partner stays home.
Yeah.
That is dreadful. Yeah. That is dreadful, just because, you know, the family time.
Or maybe you got engaged and your sister got engaged and your sister's engaged to a man and you're engaged to your partner, and your sister gets to talk about it, and everybody's excited about that, and they are not excited for you.
Exactly. Tough.
Or it could be that your family is very supportive, but there's just the usual stresses that...
Yeah. There's the usual family dynamics.
Right.
That comes up this time of the year, where that one pesty, you know, that one pest of your family is still the pest, right, of the family, and you got to put up with that for the weekend or the... Even if it's a day or, you know, and then you have the one who is the golden child and they get, you know, pampered the whole time you're there. And you're the one that sleeps in the laundry room on the cot because you're just the one that gets shuffled to there.
Or know? Maybe you're vegetarian and your family doesn't care. So you have nothing to eat except cheese. Or you're vegan and there's really nothing to eat. Yeah.
Yes, you had all that stuff to talk about, right?
I think you're working from memories there, Mary. Have you had some cheese lasagna in your past, maybe?
Quite a bit.
So, you know, I just wanted to chat about some tips that we can have for holiday stress.
Yay!
First one that comes to mind is what? Boundaries.
Oh,
boundaries. That's a big word. Absolutely.
If you could see the eyes of these two across the table when I said boundaries, that was cute. But you can. You know, you can... You can discuss in advance.
I refuse to sleep in the laundry closet.
That's right.
I'm staying at a hotel.
Well, that is a great thing. Now, you just touched on something
stress
very
reduction.
Big. Talk about in advance. If you are bringing your significant other that you have been together for 20 years and your mother or father still wants to call them your friend and you are spending the night, you got to have that talk prior to go in there. Like, if it doesn't go well, we're going to a hotel. Period. Or maybe you just set up in advance. You have that boundary with your parents and they say, well, you're going to sleep in the laundry room. You say, no, we're going to sleep at a hotel. So we're going to be there from this time to this time and then we're checking into a hotel. So you have those boundaries, right? Have those plans. Make that talk.
Communication.
Communication with your partner beforehand.
With your family where you're visiting too. You
exactly. Know? Have those boundaries that if your mom and dad calls you your partner, your significant other for 20 years, your friend again, you're leaving. You're out the door, right? You got to have those. That communication is key.
I think watching holiday movies is key. Especially some of those de-stressor type movies that are so funny that we can all relate to and say, somebody else understands what I'm going through. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Having in place some conversation starters are also great.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because maybe you aren't the extrovert. Maybe you're a little more the introvert, and maybe you're going to your significant other's family. Oh, and maybe you haven't met the great uncle who is not so keen on the LGBT issues or something like that. Instead of just sitting there in the corner, hoping that the day will go by fast, have some conversation starters.
That's a great idea. I love that. And I've asked you before when there's new members of the family I have to meet, you know, what are their interests or where have they traveled or do they like pets, you know, so we can bond.
Right.
Ira, what is it?
I was going to say it's good to give your partner a heads up on those situations too.
That's true.
Or if you know that they're just sitting in the corner kind of cowering at your looming family, that you're going to go rescue them and not leave them there to slowly sip their punch and pray the day will be over quickly.
Yes. Make sure that if you're the one that's bringing your significant other to your family, make sure that they are taken care of during that day. Marianne's nodding her head and smiling.
Cheese lasagna.
And have a backup plan if your partner doesn't follow through successfully. It's good to take care of yourself. So those conversation starters are very helpful. And, you know, keeping in mind that, okay, at the end of the day, I have that book I'm getting back to. So,
yes.
You know, have something that you would get to look forward to. Or, oh yeah, tomorrow I am going to the zoo with my nephews, and that's really going to be fun. You know, to make sure you just have those things in place for yourself.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Remember to affirm yourself that you are fine, you are normal, you are great, you are fabulous.
Yeah.
You're going to make it through this day. This is limited. It does not go on forever.
There are a lot of really helpful tools now, too, like texting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have a best friend in Oklahoma, and you're sitting there in, you know, Tennessee, and you've let your best friend know that this is that weekend that brings up stress for you. And you can't call them because that would be rude. But while you are sitting over by the fireplace,
having a cheese lasagna,
go ahead and text and say, red alert. And the best friend can text you back and say, I love you. You're fabulous.
Exactly.
You know, or whatever. You can have those lifelines out there, whether it is your partner or maybe your partner is so distracted because they have their own stress going on.
Yes.
You do have a best friend or two out there. You know, you could have three or four if necessary or whatever, you know, but use those modern conveniences and, you know, don't go overboard to the point of being rude, but things like texting really can come in handy these days.
Yeah.
You can always bury yourself in Angry Birds, too, if the situation is terrible. I have done that before.
Too many people sit there with the nose in the phone, and that gets,
you know,
gets rude.
Well, I was going to say, I bet there's a lot more of that now
with
our smartphones and technology. 20 years ago, we had to sit on the corner.
We had to talk to each other. It was terrible.
With Uncle So-and-so, who was, you know, not happy to be there either. And, so it's probably, I don't know, there's ways to avoid conversations or just situations now with the smartphone. But keeping your expectations
realistic
is always a good, you know, moment to breeze through that time. And like I said, know that it is limited. The amount of time that you're going to be there, or even limited in the holiday season, there is a start and there's an end. You know, and
it's
so
hard to remember that when you truly feel misunderstood,
yes,
or disacknowledged, and you want to be yourself, or you want to have the holidays be special.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like that's easy.
No,
but
it's
it
not.
Is something to really keep in mind.
Right.
Absolutely. And if you have to give a present to yourself and say, you know, let's say Christmas is the time for you that's stressful. Well, Christmas Day is going to be this, but on New Year's Eve, I'm taking myself dancing, or, you know, my partner and I are going dancing, or we're going to this party, and that's my gift to myself. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, having your own traditions, maybe you're not going to go see your extended family this year, but, you know, creating your own family traditions with your significant others is a great, it's a great way of, you know, creating your own memories for this holiday season, and attending community events or holiday events in your local area. Like, I think, you know, this Friday we're going to our little local town. They're having the
sing-along.
And
especially if your partner is under stress for the holidays, because sometimes it's one of you but not both of you.
Yes.
And maybe your partner's making you crazy. Maybe your family is amazing and everything's fine there, but your partner is making you nuts. And you need boundaries with your partner.
That's true.
So all of these apply in that case as well. You know, you may need time away from your partner for going to the caroling in the town because you need to do that yourself or with your friends or whatever, because your partner is just so stressed out during the holidays, or maybe they're depressed during the holidays and you're not, because it's a happy time for you and it isn't for them. And you can use these things, these strategies, in all kinds of different cases.
Don't forget to make time to get exercise.
Oh,
that can help
point.
With stress.
Because we are
don't
low
abandon
vitamin
those,
D.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So
don't abandon those healthful habits. You know, don't go to the office Christmas party and be the one that's maybe had too much to drink. But that's stressful too. As a couple, if you are going to your significant other's holiday party at their company, maybe this is the first time you're going. Mm-hmm. You know, you have all that to consider. And so just be mindful. That's what I'm saying. Just be mindful.
A lot of people, I think there's fewer people who aren't out at work. You know, back in the day, that used to be the big thing where you had to take your friend and look like you were straight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because your promotion was riding on it.
Right.
Year after year, you had to do this with your friend. And, you know, and it was like really annoying or very challenging.
I think
that happens a little less often now,
probably,
which is exciting.
Yes. Well, a lot of corporations have LGBT organizations within their larger company,
and I'm
great,
sure it
is awesome.
Great, it's wonderful, and I'm sure there are some companies that have all that, but still, when you get down to it,
mm-hmm.
you don't get the promotion if your boss knows, so you still have to play the game. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's still circumstances which are extremely stressful, and
I just want you to know, it's this year for the Rainbow Wedding Network holiday party, you're welcome to be who you are.
Aww.
At the holiday party. We will be celebrating.
That's our theme. We have a theme now. Be yourself.
There is a lot of stress during this time of the year. It's a lot of stress. And it is different for everybody. I mean, I think, like you were saying, this could be your favorite time of the year, and your partner is just, this is not their favorite time of the year.
I know you, for instance, have divorce issues from your parents that happened over the holidays.
Yep.
So it makes you tethered sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the spirit of the season.
Yep.
And I don't. So, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things going on. Or maybe you're planning to pop the question to your sweetie this holiday season, and that's got its stresses.
Yes.
And, you know, there's all kinds of good stresses, bad stresses. How do you deal with it?
Right.
Pressure to buy the perfect gift.
Or it could be somebody that's in recovery.
Yeah.
And they feel pressured because they are going to the corporate party, and you know, how do you, maybe that's not something that you talk about, or that's not something that you've shared with your coworkers, but you're over there drinking tonic water and everybody else is getting sloshed. And, you know, how do you deal with that? Or it could be your family, or, I mean, it just, there's a whole host of things. But I think, you know, things to remember is to be gentle with yourself. Have those good, clear boundaries. Have your plan. Have that plan in place. Don't just go in there flying by the seat of your pants.
And hope, I think one,
and I'm hope sorry. That it works out.
Yeah. I think another good strategy is to get outside of yourself. And if you're at the corporate party, for instance, and you're feeling things are closing in, the walls are closing in, or you're feeling stressed because of this, that, or the other, one way to help is to reach out to somebody else. Not for any other reason other than to just be kind and to share a moment.
Right.
Even if it's somebody over the punch bowl, to just say, hi, how's your day? Or what are your holiday plans? Maybe they have kids. What presents are you getting the kids? You know, just get outside yourself for a minute.
Yes.
Take a breather.
Take a breather.
And yeah, certainly to volunteer during the holidays, extremely helpful to help get your mind off yourself and realize, oh, there's other people out there with other things going on. A lot of these are larger than my problems, and that helps me really get back down to earth, feel grounded, and feel like, you know, when you help somebody else, they always say you're helping yourself.
That's right. True. That is very strategy. True. And if you do belong to a place of worship or something like that, there's a lot going on there that can help you get out of yourself, like you're saying. You know, there's a lot of places there that you can go And you'll probably be amazed at how many people that you know are going through something similar or might have stresses during the holiday. So being able to talk about that a little bit is great.
A lot of people get stressed because they don't feel like they have anybody close to them to spend the holidays with.
Yes.
It's like you don't have to have a spouse and kids to enjoy the holidays. You can, you know, don't even if you don't have extended family near you. You just moved to a new city or whatever, or, you know, you're the type of person that doesn't have a lot of people close to you in your life. There's ways to reach out, connect, get involved. If it's not your thing to do that, that's fine. But if it stresses you out because everybody else seems to have other people in their lives, you know, that is another strategy, is to find ways to connect.
Yes.
Whether it's by volunteering at the local shelter or, you know, and it may not be for the homeless, it may be the local animal shelter because their volunteers are low right now because everybody's busy with holiday things. Maybe you want to pick up an extra shift over at the local animal shelter and that helps you connect because you're less a people person. But the animals totally get you. You know, I mean, keep in mind you can think outside the box during this time of year too. Or maybe you don't want to spend time there, but you can go ahead and buy some towels and or go to, you know, Goodwill and get some things and take them to the animal shelter. And that helps you feel like, oh, this is the season of giving. Let me do that. So there's ways to think outside the box, too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And if you do feel all alone this holiday season, there are wonderful LGBT organizations out there. PFLAG, your community center. There's even national hotlines, I think, still active. Make sure you reach out. If it's just a really bad time for you, it's okay. Find somebody that you can talk to about it. That's important.
If your partner's away for work, some people have to be away for work during the holidays. It's unfortunate, but it can be a way to fill in the blank, fill in that gap while your partner's away. Find something to get into and engage yourself during the holidays.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But if you just need to talk, reach out to the PFLAG folks or the community centers. There's great groups. There's all of that out there. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Communication. Relationships, connection.
Do you know most of the things we talk about in this podcast and these podcasts, even from hiring vendors to wedding vows, all has to do with communication.
And relationships.
And relationships.
Yeah.
Boy, it just creeps into everything, doesn't it?
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's going to have to be a theme for a whole podcast.
Exactly. Building relationships. Yeah. But, let's see. I don't know that we're going to do another podcast by the end of this year. We may do one more, but you know, in case we don't, I wanted to make sure everybody has a
happy holiday season.
Happy holiday,
that's
absolutely.
Best wishes for 2016.
That's right.
It's amazing to think that year is upon us.
It has gone by fast this year. 2015 flew by. But
for more information, of course, about our various services, holiday related and not, you can visit us online at rainbowweddingnetwork.com. Our event schedule for our tour of Same Love, Same Rights LGBT Wedding Expos is available on the website as well as on our sister site, which is samelovesamerights.com. And, of course, you can visit us on Facebook. Ira, what is that URL?
That is facebook.com/rwncom. And, of course, on Rainbow Wedding Network, if you want to go to our podcast page or tell your friends about it, you can go to rainbowweddingnetwork.com/podcast.
Yeah, we appreciate you listening in. We appreciate it if you care to donate to continue to help our resources going strong. We've been around 15 years. The podcast is our newest resource that we have available, so we're excited that we've added this to our repertoire. Again, all our best to our happy couples just getting engaged this season, and we're looking forward to a wonderful 2016 with all of you. Take good care.